Okay, this is Pittsburgh Section National Council of Jewish Women, July 13, 1995. This is the,
In any event,
this is take two, interview with Ruth Lieber. I'm Gabrielle Denman. I will be the interviewer, and Jean Gershon will be the recorder. Ruth, would you please tell us the name of Jerome's younger brother?
Okay, it's Marvin Lieber. I may have mentioned that he's an attorney. He's married to Penina Kessler Lieber, who is also an attorney, and she's the daughter of Dr. Aaron Kessler. He was the dean of the School of Advanced Jewish Studies.
Okay, let me stop now.
Do I know their family, the
no.
three children?
Well, yeah, you can tell us about this. Okay.
Okay.
I don't think.
Keep me on track,
okay.
Please.
Okay. Now, and they live in Pittsburgh, is that
yes.
correct? Okay.
Right and, up the street.
Are they? Okay. I think that's enough about them. Now, the other question we had when we reviewed your notes from last time, you had mentioned that Don Buca had a scholarship from the Ike. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Because I know very little about that family. Bob Buca. Don Buca was the actor, and he went to Carnegie Mellon. And Bob Buca was his older brother. His father's name was also Bob Buca. And they had been in the coal business and had serious reverses, and these young men needed scholarships. And they were, in fact, educated by what is now the JCC, I guess it was the Irene Kaufman Settlement House.
Right.
And I don't know how full the scholarships were. I know that they were somewhat nurtured and followed until they completed their education. I don't know much else about
that. Okay. Very good. Now, the other question we had was regarding the family's relationship to Albert Einstein, but you have given us some documentation. So we'll go through that and copy.
All right.
It, okay?
His dates coincide with my grandmother's generation.
I see.
So that, you know, it's a different generation relationship. I looked and looked for the letter from Betty Buca, but I couldn't find it. But my sister had some recall of it, and it was Betty Buca who visited Einstein and acknowledged the family and his birth in Ulm, is that
Ulm?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a city
and
in Germany,
yeah.
in southern Germany.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And actually, my sister's recall was better, and he wasn't, I don't think, even educated in Germany. Switzerland.
I think he was
Italy.
Educated in Switzerland.
Yeah, and
I
so
think.
Forth.
Yeah.
But for whatever, he did acknowledge the family, and he was interested. That's about all I can recall for you.
Okay. Just a few more questions, and then we'll go on. You'd mentioned that your mother lent your father money
yes.
to start his business.
Yes.
Were they married or?
Yes.
May I ask how...
How far into the marriage?
No. Did she have her own money?
Yes.
I see.
And this was at Depression times.
Uh-huh.
My father had supported the family, and in those days it was kind of a no-no to share income. I mean, it may have been a family kind of idea, and so they kept everything entirely separate. So she was set up
That's
to be able to lend him money, which he totally and absolutely paid back.
Yeah, you mentioned that. But we were curious.
In fact,
that's kind of interesting.
Yeah. My mother played piano and sang, I think I mentioned that, and for her wedding gift she was given a baby grand, which my father, being at a different level economically than my mother, was very upset by that, and he insisted upon either buying it or paying it off or something early on in the marriage. It sounds like it was a bad relationship with family and stuff, but this was just accepted. It was kind of the workings of it.
That's interesting. Okay. One more name that we need to know. When you talked about your parents sponsoring refugees from Germany, you talked about Mary's mother, Tola, but you didn't say her father. What was your last name? Anson.
Yeah, Uncle Robert.
Okay.
Uncle Robert.
And it was A-M-S-N?
It was Abrahamson, and as several people suggested, my father leading it, they shortened it. I don't think they were trying to anglicize it. I think they were just shortening it as they said they were.
Okay. And one more question. Your grandfather, who came from England?
My grandfather.
Your grandfather.
Yeah.
Okay. And prior to England, do you know?
No, I don't.
Okay.
No, I don't.
Okay.
Not really.
All right. So that's all the questions we have. Let's go on now. At the end of our last hour, you were sort of finishing college, I think.
Okay.
All right. Now, did you graduate in what year?
45. And I loved it. It was a totally good experience. I guess it wasn't a totally good experience, but it was marvelous. It was during a poignant era. The war caused additional excitement and difficulty in getting cigarettes and meeting new people and convoys coming through our college town. And the college had been a normal school. I think I mentioned that.
No, I don't think.
Okay. It had turned into a state school, and there were certificates there for 2 years college, and then they had gone on to be a fine arts college. And I loved it, and I settled in there and related to the Jewish community there. I taught Sunday school because you couldn't leave the campus on Sunday unless you went to church. taught Sunday school.
Yeah. I think you mentioned that last time. Did they have sororities?
They did. They were non-Jewish sororities.
Were you in?
No. I did. I'll have trouble recalling the name. I think it was Pi Kappa Sigma, and they changed their oath for me.
Oh, how wonderful.
Yeah, and I did join a sorority, and I was very happy in it. My mother focused on our being Jewish, so we weren't in a traditional home. She was very fearful of my not being part of the Jewish life after college and during college, and she discouraged my even maintaining the friendships. You know, for a while we all went back and forth, and they came to my weddings. I never went to anyone's wedding and was invited and so forth. Travel was still difficult because of the war and so forth, and it wasn't so easy to arrange. There was always a good reason for me not to be in the bosom of these non-Jewish families. And I am sorry in a way. I didn't keep up. I had some just delightful friendships and good roommates. And occasionally, when I go south, I'll take out my address book and so forth. But I never make the calls. Not part of my life.
And so after you graduated, what happened? What did you do?
I came back to Pittsburgh, yeah. Which was, and got a job at the Jewish Social Service Bureau. I was a limited kind of caseworker because I didn't have a master's degree, and I started to take courses at Pitt along parallel to my working. And I met Jerome. The men were just trickling back or doing other things. And he was working for S. Leo Russell, and he's a young attorney. And I met him at the country club at a Halloween dance and took off. I had these knowledgeable friends with minds like card catalogs, and I didn't know anybody in Pittsburgh. I'd been away 4 years and had not been here even in the summers for one reason or another. And so they would clue me in, and they told me I should stay in the music.
Now, had he been in the service?
He had been in the service. Uh-huh. He got back rather early. He could not get back to the he was in law school at the University of Pennsylvania, and his class did not come together again, that particular class was depleted in the war, and so he finished at the University of Pittsburgh in one more year. Mm-hmm. And he immediately went to work for SAO, and Julian had not yet come back from war. Julian's brother had, Julian Rustin,
Esleo was the father?
The father.
Okay.
Julian and Lee Westlander were his two lawyering sons. Unfortunately, Lee was killed in England during the war, and Julian was late being discharged. And Jerome and Sam Kaufman, which is another name that will crop up in your interviews. And S. Leo practiced together, and it was a heavy load because he was the runner. And they were associated with Main and Company because they did tax law. S. Leo wrote the first tax law book. And it was he and Julian have been partners longer than I have been Jerome's partner. And one of those solid, they complement each other very, very much. I'm not going to go into their characters and so forth, but though they've moved on and formed different firms and so forth, they've always moved together. S. Leo lived to a ripe old age and went into work well into his 90s, but I guess really looked to Julian to keep the name going and so forth. And for a long time he did, and so did Jerome. Now the firm has a totally different character. At one point they were the largest Jewish law firm in Pittsburgh. And I can't remember, I think it was just Rustlander, Lieber. Then it was Berkman, Rustlander, Lieber and Engel, and I think it was at that time that it was the largest Jewish law firm, which was one of Jerome's goals, to have such a thing. And he's been in practice now over 50 years. And probably coming away from your original practice.
Now, as you mentioned that last time, Lucy, and you said he wrote a letter to his children.
Wrote a letter. Yes.
And maybe we can find that later.
Oh,
I can
could definitely.
That. We would like to have.
Because it expresses his joy in the law.
Yeah. And he still practices.
He is, in a very limited way. And he's not as strong. He's gotten a little delicate in the last year or so, and he's going in less and less.
Okay, let's get back to your courtship.
Oh.
He was a big spender. What else? Tell us.
It took off. It was nice. I have to tell you, my sister married at 31 years of age, and my mother thought she was too young. So you can imagine how she felt about me. And you get the picture that my mother was a strong, opinionated person, and we bought her opinions. I have to tell you that. And I had not really ever gone with anyone, and so I sort of sneaked it. I would make dates. My mother would hear me on the phone and chit-chatting with people that she knew, the young men that came around, and then I would break them subsequently, and she wouldn't follow that, and soon I was only going with Jerome, and we did go together for a year. We accommodated my parents. Engaged.
So how old were you?
I was 22.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah, a baby, my mother thought.
Okay, what was the date of his marriage?
September 7th, 1947. Okay. And I, of course, quit work, quit school, and lived in an apartment on Center Avenue in Jerome very wisely chose that we buy a house. It was overwhelming to me, and I had no domestic aspirations at all. And we did. We bought in Pleasant Hills for several reasons. A cousin out there, my sister lived in that area, and it was a toll call, and he thought I was entirely too close to my mother. She was doing my laundry, and the cooking would arrive, the dinners would arrive. And it did give me a wonderful a sense of independence, and I didn't have a car, and it was very nice. It was really very nice. I had the kind of a life they have on TV commercials. You know, we go out and admire each other's laundry, and it's hung on a line, and all sorts of things like that. And I did get very domesticated out there. And Jim Lieber was born out there.
And where was that?
Pleasant Hills on Pomona Drive.
I know where that is. So now, when was Jim born? Or do we have that?
Oh, don't do me dates.
Well, you know your kid's birthday.
Yeah, 49. Jim's 46.
Okay. I think we have that.
Yeah. And our plan, and Jerome's always been rather organized. We haven't always met the dates, and it's no great deal if we don't, but his idea was to live out there for 5 years, improve the house, sell it, and move to Squirrel Hill. We've always been Squirrel Hillites, or nearby, adjacent. And we did that, and I think it was good. Paul was born after we moved into Malvern, and eventually we moved a larger house in Concord, and we did that. And now we're in a smaller house, and it's supposed to be like a large apartment on a lot. That's the way I'm to think of it, because when we moved here 17 years ago, I haven't suffered, but I would like, you know, less responsibility. But that's the future of time. So, ask me a question.
Now, in between these children,
yes.
Why did you do any volunteer work?
Always. As soon as I moved to Squirrel Hill, I read to the blind. I started. That was my first volunteer job.
Did you do this through council or through some
temple?
Temple.
And maybe council. I did it through a friend, really, Naomi Betts, introduced me to volunteering. I had done Red Cross work during the war, and I had solicited blood donors, and I had been a receptionist and so forth, in various places, at my school, and when I came home, and so forth. My mother was involved in volunteering work before me. My sister was a councilette. I think the councilettes were kind of kaput when I came along because of the war. But I was always attached, and particularly to council. My mother, and I don't know if I say anything about this, was instrumental in the Friendship Club with the German group, and she worked, I think, as a council representative with the Jewish Social Service Bureau to integrate the new Americans. And she used to have these wonderful, my mother was fluent in German.
Oh, wow.
And we had during the war, these wonderful meetings at our house, because it was kind of a central factor in their getting together, and they looked to my mother for certain things, and it would sound like a bullying meeting. I was so ashamed when it was before the war, actually. I think it was before I went to college. I think I was a sensitive teenager.
Can you tell us a little bit about the Friendship Club?
No, my facts are not straight. I think my memory is faulty. I'm not sure. I used to have names at my fingertips, and I did check back with some of these people because of doing histories for NCJW or speeches about my mother or something like that. Not about my mother, but including my mother. And I did track them down. I don't even have a recall for the names. If I heard them, I would probably recognize them. And I spoke to a man who had been a president of the club. He was the only one who remembered my mother. Evidently, everybody had passed on. I don't think the living Germans now necessarily do.
I think that club dissolved some.
Oh, yes, it did dissolve some years ago. It was definitely their socialization in Pittsburgh. And it must have been a wonderful psychological boost. It was always full. In my mom's home, and a great deal of chatter, and in German, and it must have been such a comfort, you know.
Sure.
And she reveled in it.
Well, do you know, did they have a meeting place when they became...
Oh, yes, they went on, yes, and they, and my mom no longer participated, but she was a force only for a couple of, maybe 5-6 years, and maybe 2-3 years, and but she retained the friendships, and many of the club members, I'm trying to think, Kosterlitz,
Irma somebody, and we wanted to interview, but unfortunately she's at the Jewish home. The age of my
I don't think there's anyone that has a memory of my mother, because I did try to put something together. For a while, Dorothy Blumenthal had a memory of a committee. And in later years, no, I went back to Dorothy, and nothing was forthcoming at all. It's a shame that these things fade.
Well, that's why we're doing.
Yeah, that's wonderful.
Okay. So, you...
Oh, so, yeah. My volunteer work. I had an ailing mother-in-law, and I had an ailing mother, and for a while I was caretaker and didn't immerse into these things, though, into volunteer work. Also, somehow, if you rear your head, I love serving... hands-on volunteering, and I got administrative jobs, and then I'd pull away from it and so forth. I didn't want to drown in it because I had these other things that I was obligated to, like Jerome's mom. She had two sons. I was the only daughter-in-law, and my mom, who leaned mostly on my sister. However, I was necessary. So for a while, it was kind of not too deep. And then when my mother died, I became involved in mental health. And I did hands-on volunteering at Polzetic with autistic children. And that was through Mary. And I really, I think I needed to do something like that. And I think it served a purpose with me. But I was very loyal to it and did it for quite some time.
Now, is this a council project?
Not at all.
It is not.
Mm-mm. The next council project...
What kind of project was this project?
United Mental Health.
I see. Okay.
And I think it had private funds that I wasn't aware of. I was very admiring of Polzetic, who housed this program when nobody else would, and shut their eyes when the non-kosher and worse food came.
Can you give us some time period? Do you remember when it was? When you did
a lot
this?
Of years.
Yeah.
Let's see, my dad was still living. No, I really can't give you a time period. After that, I came back to council through a tutoring program and working with cerebral palsy children. And I was focused on children. And then they went into a division system, NCJW. I don't know if you know that. There was a Squirrel Hill East and a Squirrel Hill West and a South Hills and an East End. And I think there were 5 or 6 divisions. maybe four, and I was president of Squirrel Hill West. Maybe East. But I was that. And I never, never got very far away from it. And I must say, it was a hard concept to swallow. We were a strong organization. We were having trouble with getting volunteers, and a great many of our paid services that are paid now depended on volunteers. Even project directors, I'm thinking particularly of Council Care, the old Council Care that was connected to United Mental Health. It was a halfway house. I don't think it was called Council Care, but close.
Well, Council Care, I think, is relatively new.
Oh, Council Care. This is an old program for senior citizens, or whatever you want to call them. This was a program, the one I'm referring to, Council House. Council House was developed, directed, and everything by a woman, incidentally, her name was Perlman. I don't know if you'll want it. She was later a president of NCJW. And she was a consummate social worker. And this was a halfway house, a new concept. And for mentally released, getting well people, I really don't know. But it was turned over to the community in later years. And I don't know, and we sat on its board and so forth. And the quality of the program remained very high. I don't know what's become of it. How did that come into the conversation?
You said council. Now, this happened during your presidency of Squirrel Hill, West Squirrel Hill?
No, it happened, I think the woman's name was Kirshner, and during that time, I can't, again, give dates.
Mm-hmm.
And Sidney Hyman's wife, Bessie, was very instrumental. She was very bright, wonderful, devoted council member that never took a presidency or anything like that. And this was her concept. And it did a wonderful thing for NCJW. To this day, volunteers that were dug up then to serve these smaller units, these sections, I don't know what they call them,
mm-hmm.
Are still working and so forth. It did accomplish its purpose, but it never generated the spirit. It certainly generated good social feelings, never the work effort. It became loose and separate. There were different newspapers for the different little Squirrel Hill East and Squirrel Hill West, different volunteer honorings, and I think the strength in the groups, in the various groups, was negated because the role wasn't defined for the section, for the supervising, for the overseeing of these various things. That's my own interpretation, because thinking back, it had so many good things, so many attractive things, and we still have benefits from it. I'm definitely a product of that, and I've worked much harder since experiencing a small presidency. We attracted all kinds of people. A lot of our newsletter people later had their roots in these funny little sections because they weren't intimidated by the jobs, I think.
Uh-huh. Now, did the different sections take on different projects?
No, I think they fit.
They all fit into
whatever was going on. It never broke down into that. It didn't have the chance. We got scared. And I didn't have a leadership role in the section, but they withdrew from it. I think they saw more negatives than positives. I can't say that I did.
Okay. But I assume people became more mobile also when this was given up. When
When they went back, but don't forget they went back into a kind of a unit that they knew, they were familiar with, and it must have felt good to a lot of people. I always thought another 2 years might have allowed them to learn how to manage it. It was as simple as that.
Well, now, currently, as I understand, is the Pittsburgh session in South Hills.
Yes, and South Hills is, I have a concern. In fact, I went on the minutes for that. I think South Hills needs attention. I think it needs to be you need to see where it is and where it's going. And they're having strategic planning now at the section level. And I try really hard not to be a mouthy past president, but I hope South Hills is one of the things that they look at.
Why? What
you think? Because it's existing, and it could be so much more or so much less, but it really should be defined. And I don't think it